Welcome to the Generation Iron Podcast, featuring the biggest names in bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports world.
If you want to be a bodybuilding champion, it takes hours and hours every day of being dedicated and being passionate about it.
How's your boy here, Kai Green, a.k.a. Mr. Getting It Done?
Yeah, buddy!
Tune in to the GI Exclusives on the Generation Iron Airwaves.
What's up, GI Nation? This is Vlad Yurin, and we're back to the Generation 9 Podcast. Today's guest is one of the most legendary bodybuilders in the world of all time. He's an extremely positive guy. He always spreads knowledge, always spreads positive influence, and he's embraced by pretty much everybody I know in the fitness industry. And of course, he's an 8-time Mr. Olympia winner, which is a record tie with Ronnie Coleman. So today, I'm very happy to be talking to Lee Haney. Well, Lee, man, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. It's always great to, you know, find information from you. And you're always the voice of wisdom, in my opinion, man, when it comes to people from bodybuilding, space, fitness, and just in general, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So, you know, I want to ask you your opinion on something. It's been the last 3 months, you know, in the world has been kind of crazy with the quarantine, you know, the virus scare, you know. The police brutality now, the riots, the protests that's happening in the, kind of in the country, and the whole world is watching right now. How do you feel about it? What is your take on this, you know, the state that we're in right now?
Yeah, well, you know, man, there are several things happening at one time. You know, we haven't quite gotten past coronavirus, and everybody is concerned about that. As you know, in our community, bodybuilding, we've had to cancel several of our events all over the world. Mm-hmm. So we're eager and ready to get back out there, but at the same time, we want to make sure we're cautious in doing so. Mm-hmm. So I stand behind the powers that be and making sure the timing is right mm-hmm. for the safety of all of our athletes. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited, man, to get back out there. And, you know, one of the things that I look at is, and I've sort of been asking questions and trying to get a feel, but those of us in the health and fitness community, I haven't heard of anyone having problems with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's partly due, I would say totally due to the fact that we take care of our health. You know, we're out exercising, working out, we're eating good. Now, as a result of that, we have a stronger immune system than the average person. So we're not the average person having to try to fight off a virus. You know, so that's a big benefit to us. And I feel, particularly here in Georgia, you know, the gyms have started opening back up. People mm-hmm. are working out again. We haven't heard any negative reports concerning any type of surge and that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. I feel very good about that. Very good. I have my show coming up November the 14th, the Lee Haney Games, and we're excited. And we want to give the athletes opportunities to get out and enjoy themselves and to showcase all of their hard work. So we're hoping and praying that everything is set to go. We've opened up several other things already here mm-hmm. in Georgia. So I think everything will be ready to go come November. I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as what's happening out here in the atmosphere, as far as the rioting and, you know, particularly the and what it brought it about, you know, it's a symptom of not being heard, a symptom of injustices going undone and not being dealt with. You know, the conversation has started, and then it will stop, and it will start, then it will stop. And I think so many people here in the United States have become frustrated at the lack of follow through after seeing, you know, our black and brown brothers die, you know, at the hands of police officers. And let me just say, listen, I have a degree in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of awesome police officers out there, a lot of whom are my friends, mm-hmm. and they put their lives on the line every day. So I have the utmost respect and love for each and every one of them. But there are some out there who lack compassion, who lack love, and frankly don't need to be a police officer. You know, what we saw in the murder of George Floyd, these guys should never have been on the force. Matter of fact, their backgrounds, as it relates to some of the other, let's say other items that had been brought to the attention mm-hmm. of the department was saying that it should have been red flagged, that they had all some negative inquiries concerning their work on the job. So that should have been looking into. So that's a tragedy in itself. You mm-hmm. know, it was a disservice to the community and a disservice to them. This is not where you're supposed to be. You shouldn't be there. And they took this man's life. An innocent life was taken. And so the community has finally got fed up with it. And I think all of America and all of the world is fed up with it. And I was so proud to see our young people out there marching and saying enough is enough. And when I say young people, I'm saying black, white, yellow, all nationalities mm-hmm. joined together, as well as friends around the world saying, we no longer want this. We want justice and equal rights for everybody. And the very thing that America stands for, the land of the free, home of the brave, is for everybody. And so I'm hoping that going forward, that the legislative bodies would do mm-hmm. what they are hired to do and put safeguards in place so that these type of things would no longer occur. I mean, there's going to be evil in the world. You're not going to stop evil.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
The hearts of men is very fickle. Mm-hmm. You can't know it. It does crazy things, you know, but at least those of us who know better and of goodwill, law-abiding citizens, we need to make sure that we come to the forefront and hold our elected officials accountable for these type of things and doing the right thing. So that's how I feel about that, you know, and I've been praying a lot about this. Mm-hmm. I've had several discussions about it. And on my Facebook, I sent out several messages about it. But at the same time, you know, you got some people who don't understand and don't see. And I understand that they don't see, because something that haven't been impacted by, you don't really know. You know, you don't really know how it feels to be somebody placed in those kind of positions. I had a talk with one of my friends yesterday, and, mm-hmm. you know, we've known each other since I was 18 years old, but he's white and I'm black. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to him, he was sort of questioning, well, Lee, I really haven't dealt with racism exactly, you know. So he didn't have a full understanding of what it was. I said, I've had discussion with my son. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get stopped by a policeman, make sure you have your hands right at the door so they can see it by the glass. You know, don't make any strange moves and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, well, this is a discussion you never had to have with your son mm-hmm. because you're white. I said, when the last time you saw a white guy get shot by a policeman, you know, in a traffic stop or get choked out publicly and it's viewed for the world to see? You don't mm-hmm. see that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that has to be intentionally dealt with and not just talked about. And I'm glad to see that the world and America is at a crossroads in making sure, I feel, for the last time, I hope for the last time, that we'll be having these type of discussions mm-hmm. under these type of circumstances of another innocent black man or black female being murdered at the hands of those who are sworn to serve and to protect.
That's a great answer, Lee. And also, the fact that you're a police officer, you know, gives it a lot more credibility, I feel like. And your words mean so much more, you know, because you were on that side of the force, you know?
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. All right, let's change gears for a second. I want to talk about your book. So, totally awesome. That's the book. Tell me about it. And especially for people that want to get it out there, you know, what can expect from it? What they can expect from it?
Well, I tell you what, man, totally awesome. I got it right
there. There you go.
Totally awesome, man. I am so proud of this book. Mm-hmm. I wrote Totally Awesome back in 1984, after I went in the first Mr. Olympia. Mm-hmm. And it was published really around 1985, right at 1986. Mm-hmm. This book contains knowledge and information that helped me win my first Olympia title all the way through the eighth one. Mm. You know, I talk in the book about the different training systems. Mm-hmm. I talk about nutrition. I talk about training principles, how to pair body parts together, the different muscle groups. I talk about carbohydrate loading, carbohydrate depletion. I talk about sportsmanship, posing, everything you can think of. I have it there. I also talk about the understanding of the nutritional percentages as it relates to mm-hmm. protein, carbohydrates, and fats, and how to manipulate the three of them in order to get a particular goal. So Totally Awesome is full of great information. And if you're looking, whether you're a beginner or somebody that's intermediate or a bit more advanced, this book works for everybody. And I say that it works because here I am at the age of 60 years young. I don't want to say 60 years old, 60 years young. And I have no hip, no knee, no joint problems whatsoever mm-hmm. because I understood the science of training. And it's that same science that I've used when I trained with Rich Gaspari, when I trained with Evander Holyfield, I trained Shannon Sharpe, I trained Gary Sheffield, one of the best baseball players in the world. I've used training science and manipulated it in such a way it could allow an athlete in whatever area that they're participating in the benefits of training. And my motto has always been trained to stimulate, not annihilate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You see, when you use the science of training, mm-hmm. you don't have to rip your body apart to get the goals, the results you're looking for. Train mm-hmm. to stimulate, not annihilate.
It's like a manual, basically, for aspiring bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm. It's a training manual. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, it's one of the manuals that's given with my certification program. As you see mm-hmm. Here, I'm wearing one of my shirts, the International Association of Fitness Science. So Totally Awesome is a book that goes with the Ultimate Bodybuilding Certification, whereby I have another book, which is called Fit at Any Age. Mm-hmm. This book mm-hmm. deals with functional training and mm-hmm. age management fitness. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about fitness, all exercise, all training should be there to help manage your age. Mm-hmm. Even with bodybuilding science, at the end of the day, you still want to be able to walk. You don't want to have to endure surgeries from having done the wrong things.
Sure.
So both of these books are designed to as a tool to teach you how to train properly, how to manipulate nutrition in order to get a specific goal. This book is developed for the certification functional training and basic nutrition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the IFS offered two different types of certification programs. And the results speak for themselves. I've had tremendous success in working with other athletes. And I myself, 8-time Mr. Olympia, hey man, can't get better than that, you know?
I hear you, man. Have you ever felt bad for Ronnie Coleman? And, you know, because obviously he's also 8-time Mr. Olympia, but he's been dealing with a lot of surgeries and back problems. Have you ever felt bad for him, you know, looking at, you know, what happened to him later? Obviously he's still, you know, he's good and he's still going through surgeries and he's still training, you know what I mean? But have you ever felt bad for him?
Well, you know something, all of us, our hearts are tied together. Mm. You know, none of us want to see former athletes or our comrades mm-hmm. Dealing with pain and surgeries, that sort of thing. So, yeah, man, my heart go out to Ronnie. Ronnie is a dear friend of mine. Mm. I talked to him over the telephone, you know. He used my detox programs, you know. And when I want to ask him about something, say, Ronnie, what do you think about this or that? He's always made himself available just as I've made myself available for him. Mm-hmm. You know, Ronnie's mindset and the mindset of any Olympian, we are gladiators. Mm-hmm. Gladiator, in the Roman times, we fought to the death. We were just made that way. Mm-hmm. We're not your normal people. We don't do normal things. We do a lot of abnormal things. Mm-hmm. So Ronnie took weight training, strength to a whole nother level mm-hmm. in the field of bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. You know, would I have done it? I did what I needed to do during my era mm-hmm. to create the physique that was representative of my era. I see myself as a combination of Robbie Robertson, Arnold, Roy Callender, you know, physiques such as that. That's who I am. And that what was that's what was asked of me during my time as Mr. Olympia. Ronnie came along in an era which you had Durin Yates, which was larger than myself. Durin didn't have the tiny waist like I did, the lines as I did, but Durin was a mass monster. So the size of the physique started to change. And so Durin was the first of that. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie was another level, larger and bigger than Durin.
Right.
So each of them believed in using heavy weights in order to get the results, because the body works in the way of demand and supply. Demand and supply. If you're asking your body to produce a larger muscle, you have to physically give it a greater physical demand. And that's what Durin did. That's what Ronnie did. Ronnie took it to a whole nother level. A level that was somewhat dangerous, unheard of. But that's who Ronnie is. That's who he is. And he's a gladiator. So if that was another level to reach, Ronnie would have reached it. You've heard him say many times. The only thing that he regret that he didn't do is more of what he did. That's the mindset of a gladiator.
Yeah.
So he's different. The utmost respect for Ronnie.
Definitely.
Ronnie is different. He is in a league of his own.
For sure.
And he don't apologize for what he did, nor do I think he need to. He was the best at the best in his era, and that'll always stand.
Absolutely. Do you remember when you first saw Durin Yates' physique for the first time? What was your initial thought about him?
Well, Durin had, he had size. He had great shape. He was a good-looking guy, too. So all of those things were playing in his favor. Mm-hmm. I knew that his physique needed to mature a little bit more. I mean, after all, that was my eighth Mr. Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was much more polished because I had much more time to develop my physique. You know, the years of maturity, muscle maturity I had. But I love the package that Durin brought. Was very, very good. He looked great. He had a good look about him.
Mm-hmm.
His personality. Durin is not as smiley and talkative as I am, but he had the strength about his smile that I love and still admire today. So he was an awesome competitor. Hey, I did my last one, and I was happy I did my last one. No, I didn't want to get into any further fights with Durin. I recall we were in Atlanta, and we were sitting having a bite to eat a little chat, and Durin looks at me and said, Lee, y'all, what do you think about us going at it one more time? I said, you lost your mind. I'm going fishing, man. Forget that.
Did you envision him to be the next reigning champion for the next 6 years? Did you see that in him?
Who is that?
Durin.
Durin.
Yeah, Durin Yates. Did you see him taking over the Olympia after you for so many years also? Did you see that?
Oh, did I envision that?
Did you envision that, yeah, when you first competed against him?
Well, you know something, it all depends on what the judges were looking for. And I think after Durin won that first Mr. Olympia, the statement had been made, okay, we're looking for mass and size.
Mm.
And there was nobody at that particular time was as big as Durin.
Mm-hmm.
Although there were guys with fantastic shape that I thought that looked great. You know, you had Kevin LeVerone, you had John Ray, you had, I think, Chris Cormier, Flex Wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, and again, those were a different type of physique. So it all depends, and it depended largely upon where bodybuilding wanted to go at that time. And that was totally in the hands of the judges.
Sure.
Mine was more of a classic style physique. That's where Flex Wheeler came from. That's where Sean Ray came from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Chris Cormier came from. But all of a sudden, bodybuilding was saying something different after my era. And that's where Durin was.
Absolutely. Do you remember, what was your toughest battle on the Olympia stage where you felt like it could have went either way? Do you remember your toughest battle of you know, you obviously 8-time Mr. Olympia, but do you remember your toughest moment on stage where you felt like maybe, you know, the other guy's winning? Did you ever have that moment?
I never had that moment. Okay. You know, because I don't say it to brag or to boast. Mm-hmm. My goal was always to try to be better than the Lee Haney of the year before. Mm-hmm. So I never looked at, I hear some people say, well, you competed against so-and-so. No, I never competed against so-and-so. I've always competed against me. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured if I could be better than Lee, the previous Lee Haney of the previous year, then that would put me in a place to win. Because I can't determine the mind of the judges no matter what. And nobody can.
Sure.
You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. And whatever bodybuilding is saying at that particular moment in time, this is what we want, then that's the way it's going to be. You can't fight against that, you know, and that's just the way it is. At the end of the day, you take your winnings, you market your success, you market your personality, and you put yourself in the best position, to derive or create some type of economy. Mm-hmm. Because although you see these eight Mr. Olympia trophies here, mm-hmm. I don't care how much lettuce, tomato, or ketchup I put on them, I cannot eat them. So it all equates to how do you market your success.
Right.
I mean, winning the Mr. Olympia doesn't mean you're going to reap the greatest financial rewards. Tom Platz proved that. Then you have Ty Green that also proved that. Mm-hmm. It all depends on how you're able to market your physique. Market your personality. That's the key. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Now, you retired very, very young, you know, in bodybuilding. In the bodybuilding world, you were only in your 30s, right? You were very young.
Yeah, 31.
31, I mean, we're talking like, you know, now people just get to the Olympia stage when they're 30, mid-30s, you know.
I was a bad dude, man. No, I was a bad dude.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I know. But did people try to pursue you to come back? Not maybe the next year, but like a few years down the line, did people try to convince you, somebody try to convince you to step back on the stage and get back into it?
Well, the people closest to me never did that. And that was my wife, mm-hmm. my training partner, Superman, because he had been with me. Matter of fact, Superman is featured in my book. This is my training partner, totally awesome. So he was with me through all of those Mr. Olympia competitions. We spent being in the gym sometime at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock. And the deal was always once I hit the eighth Mr. Olympia, that was it. I had nothing else to say. If you look over my fireplace, there's not enough room for any more Mr. Olympia. So that was a sign itself. I mean, I'll tell you, after once I won the seventh Mr. Olympia, it's like my body just cried out in pain. Everything hurt. Mm. And I was in doubt at that particular time if I would be able to physically train for another Mr. Olympia. I had torn anything. It's just the whole body ached. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, man, what is happening to my body? Mm-hmm. Because when you give it all in training for a competition like the Mr. Olympia, there's nothing else left to give. You know, and you constantly live with this thing, if I'm not ready, if I slip one iota, I have these other guys always looking to take my place. So you're constantly pushing to the next level. What can I do better? Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything? How can I eat better? So a lot of time you tend to overtrain from that mindset. And I found that to be true. For the seventh Olympia, I actually had overtrained. Mm. After a month or so of rest, after that seventh Olympia, my body recovered. Mm-hmm. And my training program that I then decided to use from that point, which I talk about in my book, Totally Awesome, is the on three, off one. Where that happened in the past, I would use the three on, off one all the way up until the last 6 weeks before the show. Then I would go to the straight six. Mistake. It did not give my system enough time to recover. So, in fact, I was overtraining. Mm-hmm. The last Mr. Olympia, for the very eighth one, mm-hmm. I stayed with the three on off one. And I never got tired. Matter of fact, the training felt easy in comparison to what had happened in the previous years. Mm-hmm. The muscle stayed full. I stayed energetic. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, if I'd known this, you know, the previous years, you know. Mm-hmm. But, hey, it's all in learning. And so, and again, that's why Totally Awesome is that manual that can help people mm-hmm. begin to reach their goals without wasting time and tearing yourself up for no reason. Mm-hmm. It is far better to undertrain than to overtrain. You see? Interesting. It's better to undertrain than to overtrain. Mm-hmm. You stimulate the body, then you feed it the right nutrition. Then you have to allow the body enough time to recover through rest, through mm-hmm. good water, through good supplementation. If you do those things, you stay in the game for a long period of time.
It's definitely great that you have this book. I'm going to recommend it to a lot of people because I often talk to a lot of people in the bodybuilding industry, a lot of gurus and different people, right? And a lot of people that watch our channel are basically aspiring bodybuilders, you know, that want to get into the industry. And the question I always ask is, what are they supposed to learn about bodybuilding, right? Because it's not like they go on Google searches, they go on like different pages on social media, and you never know the credibility of those people, you know what I mean? So it's either they have to hire a guru, right, and take a risk going with them, or they have to just learn from somewhere. So I think a book like this would be very, very beneficial to a lot of people that are getting into the industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have a area for beginners mm-hmm. and intermediate. Mm-hmm. For the most part, when you get advanced, you know what you're doing advanced anyway. Mm-hmm. There's not a big difference between advanced and intermediate. Mm-hmm. It's just a few extra sets, a few extra reps. That's the only difference right there. And yes, you're correct. There's a lot of gurus, so-called gurus, who haven't won the Creekwater USA. So if you haven't been there, haven't done that, how can you call yourself a trainer? Like in our certification program, the International Association of Fitness Science, mm-hmm. you have sent all of these different study guides. You receive both these books, depending upon what certification, mm-hmm. and you get a study guide, and you get video download. Then you have to attend a hands-on workshop, a hands-on workshop. You just don't get some goofy piece of paper in the mail and all of a sudden you're a trainer. Mm-hmm. That's a bunch of BS.
Right.
You have to do a hands-on walkthrough because I want to make sure that you're sure about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do a hands-on walkthrough at one of the personalized workshops that I put on here in Atlanta, then we have master trainers throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. Also, there in Canada, I have one of my friends. I have Ricardo there in Canada. I have Atrin there in Brazil. I have one of my other trainers there in Israel. Mm-hmm. The Nation of Islam have one of my master trainers there. Nice. So throughout the United States, you have master trainers that particular person can visit for their hands-on walkthrough and call upon for additional information. Mm-hmm. So we don't put out certifications like candy. You know, send me $5 and here's a certification. You know, you see that kind of stuff. So I want to make sure that people are getting the quality of training. Then the other thing that I do here too, you need to know where you come from. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how bodybuilding got its start. They don't know how the NPC got its start. Well, I talk about that in here. Mm-hmm. I was the first NPC champion. Well, then who was the first Mr. Olympia? Who was the first Miss Olympia? Who is the master blaster? Who created Worlds and Gold's Gym? Mm-hmm. You need to know some history about who's who in order to know where you're going. So that's something that we also have. Part of the exam is knowing that. You know, how many calories in 1 gram of protein? I have these kids come up, oh, I want to be Mr. Sons. And then I ask them an elementary question. How many calories in 1 gram of protein? I don't know. Mm-hmm. How many calories in 1 gram of fat? I don't know. So listen, if you don't understand the ABCs of nutrition, which nutrition is 70% of you reaching your goal, mm-hmm. 70%, mm-hmm. then you don't go anywhere. The other 30% is training. It's not hard to train a muscle or to get it to grow, but you got to know how to feed it once you stimulate it. Mm-hmm. So all of that is being taught and Totally Awesome.
That's great, man. That's great. We're going to support that book for sure, man.
Thank you.
So besides yourself, besides your own physique, do you remember seeing a physique on a bodybuilding stage or in a gym that truly impressed you? That was the most impressive physique you ever seen in your life, outside of your own, obviously.
Well, I tell you what, one in particular, and I was just talking about this yesterday or the day before, that I really kept my eyes on, that was, whoo, man, I said, if this guy get it together, man, I would have a hard time. That was Matt Mendenhall. Wow. You remember the movie He-Man?
Yeah.
This guy was a walking, talking He-Man.
Wow.
Perfect calves, wide back, great biceps, great chest, great thigh. He had everything. He was a cartoon, a real-life He-Man cartoon. But he didn't have the heart. The heart determines everything. He didn't have the desire and the grit. That's why he never made it to where he should have been. He would have, man, he's the only one. As you asked me, he's the only one.
That's crazy. Had wow.
Type of genetic potential, but didn't follow through on it. Didn't have the heart or the desire, you know. But then I look at one of the persons I know of who had very little genetic potential, and I just happened to be to see his life, and that was Rich Gasparri. Rich mom was maybe 4'10", his daddy, maybe 5'3", maybe 5'4". My mom, 6 foot tall. My dad, right at 6 foot tall. My mom was 185 pounds. You know, I had all of that working for me. Me and Ronnie, both of us had big mothers. You know, but Rich didn't have none of that. He had to work for every bit of what he got out of the sport of bodybuilding. He had zero genetic potential, but his heart was like none I've ever dealt with as far as training. He was the most vicious training partner I had ever had. He would foam at the mouth while we're training. That's how intense he was.
Wow.
Man, and he was mean. God, he was mean. But that's what made us great training partners.
Right.
Rich ended up winning the IFBB World Championship. I ended up winning the Mr. Olympia in 1984. Rich lived with me for about 3 months with me and Shirley, maybe longer than that. And so I had a chance to be around him, see him. He was my training partner. But then he knocked on my door for 3 years in a row. He took second to me. Mm-hmm. So potential is worth nothing unless you're willing to put in the hard work and dedicate yourself to the task.
Was it ever difficult to be so close with him, you know, train together, be partners, and then go in and compete and beat him, you know what I mean? And then you still got to be friends with him afterwards. Was it ever like, you know what I mean, uncomfortable?
Well, you know what? Once we, in 1984, we trained together. Mm. And prior to that, we trained together. I won the Mr. Olympia. He won. And so I then left and came to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I left California. And so we were no longer training partners at that time. You know, and then we squared off on the stage, you know, right. against each other, still with the greatest of mutual respect. But I felt that, you know, man, I've been sleeping with the enemy. You know, I let him too close. He knew what I knew, you know.
Right. too close, man. So, how do you feel about Phil Heath's legacy in bodybuilding? And, you know, personally, I always felt that he was going to eventually tie. He still might, but you know what I mean? I thought he was on trajectory to tie yours and Ronnie's record. And, you know, he was definitely very dominant for 7 years straight. How do you feel about the legacy that he's going to leave in bodybuilding?
Well, I'll tell you what, Phil, you know, as you look at Phil's background, man, he was a basketball god. Mm. I mean, how do you go from basketball to bodybuilding?
Right.
Phil did that. Mm-hmm. And again, it all has to do with heart and desire and determination. He took what wasn't supposed to be and turned it into something incredible enough to win the greatest bodybuilding title in the world consecutive times, 7 times. That's incredible.
Incredible, yeah.
To win it one time is incredible. Mm-hmm. Phil wasn't blessed with the broad shoulders like myself or Arnold or Ronnie or Dorian. He had to shape his shoulder capacity and the physique in such a way that what was missing, he was able to develop. Mm-hmm. He is an incredible architect in the way he was able to do that and also to display it. I mean, he was a master at peaking also. I never saw Phil miss a peak. Never saw him miss a peak other than, you know, when he had the situation going on, the medical situation, Right. You know, and I mean, he wasn't in bad shape then. I'm just just a dab off just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, but he was absolutely incredible. And who knows, he still may come back and challenge for the Mr. Olympia again. I strongly feel he will be back. He have no reason not to, unless in his professional pursuits is taking him in another direction. Because the name of the game is to take these Mr. Olympia titles or whatever titles you've accomplished and turn it into an economy. That's the name of the game.
That's very true. How do you feel about classic physique division and its expansion in recent years? And do you feel like, because, you know, if you were, let's say, compete today, right? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, if you were a bodybuilder today, would you choose men's open or men or classic physique to, you know, to dedicate your career to?
Well, see, classic physique is physique during my era.
Right.
It is. It is. Small tapering waist, vacuum, small lines, everything fitting the way it should. Mm-hmm. I love classic physique. Matter of fact, I love the quality of the physiques also. I love the great care that has been put into creating this category. I really, my hat's off to Mr. Mannion, who's a dear friend of mine, who brought this into being, because there was a concern in the bodybuilding world that a lot of guys, when you look, you saw a Durin or a Ronnie, you said, man, that's impossible, you know. And so as a result of that, more and more guys started leaning more towards just regular physique. So there was a void there. And so I'm thankful that Mr. Mannion saw the need to create this new category in which the guys who still are admired for their fine lines, the small waist and the taper, the nice legs, the nice lean physiques, can still have a place at the table. And I'm happy that everybody have a place at the table. The mass monsters do, the classic physique, the regular physiques. So that is awesome, and I love it. I love the packages that are being presented.
So do you think potentially if you were competing today, you might have chosen classic as opposed to men's open, or do you think you still would have went for the men's open?
Well, I mean, man, I was 254 pounds, you know, with a 31 and a half inch waist. So that, it depends, and again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
You know, it all depends on what the judges are looking for. And so the criteria during my era had already been established. Look like Arnold, you look like Robbie, you look like Frank Zane, you know, you look like Mike Mensah, you look like, this is who you're supposed to look like. And that was the criteria. And so now I'm starting to see an open bodybuilding, particularly the Olympia, is starting to sort of change and retool itself. Because now you have Brandon Curry, a nice tapering waist with a nice mass package, you know, nice polished physique. You had the Mr. Olympia the previous year.
That was Sean Roden.
You had Sean had a nice tapering package. So even the Mr. Olympia title is making his way back to not classic physique, but to take on the look of more classic bodybuilding.
Sure.
And I'm very happy to see that.
Sure.
I strongly feel that the beauty of bodybuilding is what made the general population fall in love with us. Everybody wants to look like a bodybuilder. That's what I wanted to look like when I was growing up. Man, you see Arnold, like, God, that's Arnold. Rocky, I had painted all over my wall at home, you know, as a kid. Man, who didn't want to look like that? You know, you got a few people and say, well, I want to be a 300-pound. No, you can't be that. You know, you can't. It's impossible in your head to be that. So I'm glad that there's something at the table for everybody now. And bodybuilding is making its way back.
Do you think it's fair to compare eras in bodybuilding? You know, people do it in sports all the time. They compare Michael Jordan to LeBron James. They compare Muhammad Ali to Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? Like, do you think in bodybuilding it's fair to compare Brandon Curry to you or to Ronnie Coleman or something like that? Do you think there's a place for these type of comparisons in bodybuilding?
I don't think there's no place for it because I think every era speaks to itself. Mm-hmm. Every era had a special quality about it and special athletes in that particular era, you know. So it wouldn't be wise to debase any particular era in comparison with what took yesterday today. True. Everybody had his own thing. Like Durin and Ronnie, my physique, I don't think would have ever helped up with that type of mass. I had a 31-inch waist. I think I would have been injured. You know, if you know for bodies like that, their bone structure is a lot thicker than mine. So with all the, you know, and again, it's totally different. I mean, even with Ronnie and Durin, you know, they took their share of injuries. But, man, they used massive amounts of weight. Mm-hmm. I generally rarely got past, once in a blue moon, I would squat maybe 405 pounds on the squat. But then I started to use what is called a pre-exhaust system, whereby I would do leg extension, leg presses, then squat, whereby squat is your mass builder. But by using the science of the pre-exhaust, by having 315 or 275 pounds on, by using that type of program, mm-hmm. my legs thought I was still using 450 pounds, but I was only using 275 and 315. Leg don't know the amount of weight. All it knows is the weight feels heavy, and mm-hmm. I have to respond by growing. Mm-hmm. So I save my hips and my knees and my back by using that kind of approach. Mm-hmm. You know, so the approach of science can still give you the results you're looking for without wrecking your physique. You know, so that's what mm-hmm. a lot of young bodybuilders got to be careful of. Mm-hmm. So you say, well, you can say, well, yeah, man, I did 800 pounds. I did 500 pounds. You won't do it long. You won't last long in the sport. And at the end of the game, you're spending your hard-earned revenues on trying to patch yourself up. Use the science to train it. That's what I talk about it totally often. Mm-hmm. Science is always the key.
You remind me right now a little bit of Dexter Jackson. He kind of preaches the similar to what you're saying right now.
Dexter
very similar.
Looks great. Yeah. What, 50 what? Dexter 50 what now?
One, I think. 52 maybe.
51, 52. Yeah. Beautiful physique. Mm-hmm. Dexter, he could continue competing if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Albert Beckles was standing beside me and placed second in the 1985 Mr. Olympia in Belgium. He was 57. And I was just 25 years old.
Wow.
So, man, I mean, Dexter knows. And see, another great thing when you talk about gurus, real gurus, Charles Glass, mm-hmm. you can just look at everybody that Charles has put his hands on. They end up with a beautiful, polished physique and not injured.
Mm. That's a good point. I want to ask you a quick question about Evander Holyfield. You mentioned him earlier. I know you trained him at one point. He's making a comeback, I heard, in boxing. Have you heard about that?
You know something, he keeps himself in very good shape. Matter of fact, I texted him the other day. Mm-hmm. I've heard hearing these rumors too.
Right.
And I sent him this banner that somebody had sent to me. And so I sent it to Evander. I asked him, Evander, do you know anything about this? He said, no.
Oh, wow.
He said, no.
So he's not coming back.
But it could be a secret thing that he's doing. I don't know.
We've been friends
for years. He sent me a text every probably two times a week about something. So right. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard unless there's some type of fundraising event that they're looking to put together in.
Right.
I don't think Mike Tyson would be in the mood for fundraising too much. His switch is always on, man.
I gotta say though, you know what's interesting? Evander Holyfield, out of heavyweight boxers, always had a great physique, and probably because you trained him, but he was always so cut. Yeah, you know, because a lot of heavyweights they're kind of out of shape. You know, even now, like a lot of heavyweights, they're not in that shape like a bodybuilder. Obviously, it's different, right. Completely different things. I understand, but Evander Holyfield and also Mike Tyson, they always had like they look like they're in great shape.
Right. Yeah, Evander was a natural born cruiserweight. Mm. He wasn't a natural heavyweight. So they hired me to create a program to put weight on Evander, but also to make sure that he had explosive power mm-hmm. and endurance as he put the weight on. Mm-hmm. So I took him from 192 pounds to 214 pounds in a matter of 6 weeks.
Wow.
And we use the science of training, a lot of plyos and ballistic style training, different than the regular bodybuilding training, totally mm-hmm. different.
Mm-hmm.
We did what was called check ball training to stimulate fast twitch fiber. Mm-hmm. So he was able to develop muscle size and explosive power all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we use something called anaerobic threshold training, which is a totally different kind of deal. Your pulse rate can hit around 190 to 200 beats,
wow.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but once you got in shape, it would just level off at about 150, even under 3 minutes of intense fighting, mm-hmm. which, you know, each round is 3 minutes, then you got one round to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that sort of thing. But he did everything he was told to do as an athlete. His meals were set up. First thing he did was hire him a cook. Then he had a supplement set up. He would train sometimes 3 times a day. He would nap 3 times a day. So his body was always recovering and refueling. You know, so when you use the science, then things work out to your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in great shape today. Evander's in incredible shape today.
That's incredible, man. So lastly, I want to just ask you, how can people get your book? I just want to, again, plug your book and make sure that people get it. And where's the best way to order it? How can they get it?
Okay, they go to my website at leehaney.com. It's leehaney.com. That's LEEHANEY.com. Mm-hmm. They can order from there. Then my other book, which is for functional training.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say, functional training is for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you use a combination of things like light dumbbells, the medicine ball, the ropes,
mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things where you got strength, core, cardio, and flexibility mm-hmm. That you're doing in order to bring about the changes to the physique. That is the new look of overall age management fitness. Mm-hmm. That is the new look. And as I said, both of these certifications are being offered. When you go to leehaney.com, you'll see them there. Or you can go to IAFScertification.com and you can order the certification program there. But yes, the books can be got at leehaney.com. They're also available at Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them as a download.
Mm-hmm.
But if you order through me, personally through me, then you'll get a signed autograph. If everybody, you know, ordered, they say, well, listen, I heard it on Generation Iron, then I'll send them a free 8x10 photo to go along with it. But they got to put in that special note when they order, heard it on Generation Iron, you know?
Absolutely, man. Lee, I want to, you know, thank you for giving me more time than we agreed to. You told me 20 minutes. It's been 47 minutes, actually. I want to say thank you so much, man. You know, you're really a great guy, man. And it's always great talking to you, and it's always very, very, very important that we do these once in a while. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lee. Have a great day, man.
Okay. You do the same.
Take care.
Visit GenerationIron.com for even more GI exclusive content on all things bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are downloaded.